Welcome to the Michael U Podcast. We have a special pod today. It's story time. It's the story of Oakman Realty. So it's going to be a four-part series. Part one is today. I may be going on vacation for the next few weeks, so I thought it'd be fun to kind of have a four-part series where we talk about the story, the origin of our company, and the start of our company. And so I thought it would be a fun... And as I was kind of doing the research and reflecting back and looking at old photos and reminders, and, you know, I actually drove by our first office and stuff like that earlier today just to kind of get ready for these pods. It just, I am just so unbelievably thankful for Oakman and for all the people that we have in the company and the amazing staff that we work with today and in the past. And all the people that have contributed to Oakman and been with us, and I'm just so thankful for everybody that's a part of the company. It is, we'll find out later, but it's just been one of the great joys of my life to be a part of this, a part of this group, a part of this company, a part of this community, and I'm just so thankful to be even doing this podcast with you guys today to talk about something that is near and dear to me, which is the start of Oakman. So here it is, the story of Oakman in four parts. Part one, I'm calling it Opus. So to give you a bit of context, I've been a realtor since 2006, and we started Oakman in 2013. So I had about 6.5 years or 7 years as an independent agent before venturing into starting a brokerage. So I was an agent at some major head big offices in Vancouver and in Richmond, BC. But I actually thought that there was a better way to run a brokerage. I am so thankful for those agencies that I was a part of, but I've just felt that there was a better way and a better philosophy, a better culture, a better way of building a community. It was just an interesting kind of epiphany that I had. So I just, I'm kind of getting a bit scattered here, but to reset, so I was a after my father passed away when I was 22, I made him and I kind of had a heart to heart before he passed away, and he asked me to take care of the family and to look after my sisters and my mom and my grandparents and things. And I agreed, and I said, I promise that I will. And that was a real life-changing moment for me. It made me change a lot of plans. And instead of going to law school, I went into real estate on the advice of my uncle to get to go into an entrepreneurial endeavor myself. So this kind of promise that I made to my dad kind of haunted, I don't want to say haunted me, but I thought about it every single day in my 20s. And from the age of 22 to 29, all I did was focus on real estate and building the a resale business, being a real estate agent, trying to be the best real estate agent that I could. I focused all my time, energy, and efforts, and thoughts, and feelings, and emotions, and everything I could. I just threw it at trying to be a great realtor to help provide for my family, and to help to gain my own independence. I don't think I'm any. I don't think I have a special intelligence, or I don't think I have any. I'm a very average person, and I just really committed, and I was very obsessed, and that was really the spark, that was the driver for me to grow a really great independent real estate practice. And what I noticed while I was doing that is I did not get very much support from my brokerage, and that was fairly disappointing to me, because I really wanted support, I really wanted guidance, I really wanted a community, I wanted to hang out with people that were like-minded, I wanted to be in a different environment. So in realization that I was pretty much I pretty much dedicated my life to work for about 6 or 7 years straight. I never took a vacation. I never took a day off. that I needed a bit of a break. So to be open with you, I took basically a 6 or 8 month hiatus from work. So I was working on a team with my sister Arlene Chang, and you know, our great assistant Kevin Chen. I'm just name dropping now because this is the truth. And I just took some time off to have fun and to explore and to think about different things. You know, something that was really bothering me was this whole idea of so in this time off, something that really bothered me was two things. One was, I really thought that there was something that could be done differently with brokerages. So I, you know, was doing a lot of research on brokerages. I was thinking about brokerages, and kind of what the next step was going to be for me and the group. And in this kind of time away, I gained a bit of perspective, on things. And ultimately I thought that this whole brokerage model was kind of, in our local area was a bit broken. There's probably a better way, to operate a brokerage, in this time away. I was actually traveling. I was just kind of wrestling with the idea, in my mind of a brokerage for quite some time. And then I went on a vacation, to Taiwan actually, with some friends. And in that vacation, I had a little bit of I went cliff diving, which is very out of character for me because I'm a pretty conservative guy. But I went cliff diving, and when I went cliff diving, I had a bit of a near death experience. I fell off the cliff, and I kind of was like circling through the air. And as I was circling through the air, kind of like my life flashed before my eyes, because I could like almost feel, like as I was kind of circling through the air, I could feel like the rock face of the cliff, like very, very close to me. And at any moment I thought that, you know, my whole life would end. So things were kind of flashing back, and I don't know what it was, a lot of luck. You know, so I fell into the water. I did not get hit by any rocks, but when I emerged from the water, I was just like, oh my gosh, like I could have died. And you know, I was just kind of shell-shocked about that. I was in this state of like, oh, like anything could happen at any time. Life is a very, very fleeting and short thing, and I could have literally just hit my head on one of those rocks and not, you know, not woken up or not got out of that pool that day, or that that little pond that day that we were in. So after that, it was weird. We went to this spa type of thing, and we were like, we had a lot of quiet and alone time. And basically in that quiet and alone time, it just hit me like a bolt of lightning about a brokerage that was really people first, that built a community where we had open source and you know, where we're able to share information and collaborate with each other. Word iron sharpens iron came to me all the time, like with these amazing people, and we all work together collaboratively in our independent practices and kind of create kind of a open environment. The idea the first idea was actually an office with no walls. That was the idea, like we're in an office with no walls, because what happened in our brokerage previously, there was office, like everyone was in their own office spaces and everyone was kind of segmented to themselves. No one wanted to share. And so we thought that, you know, let's do like a brokerage with no walls. Like that was kind of the big idea when I came back. And so, you know, flew back to Taiwan, and basically like right when I turned 30, when I turned 30, I came back, to Vancouver, and Arlene, we were working out of my house at the time, in East Vancouver. And I told Arlene, I'm like, okay, we're starting a brokerage. I'm ready to go back to work. And I told her about what happened, and I told her about, you know, why we wanted to do this, to create a different platform, a different environment, a more supportive place, to serve agents really well and put their needs first. That was always a big thing for us. And so I told Arlene, and we had I wish I could say that we had like a month long conversation, but literally we had a 1 hour conversation. And Arlene, my partner, my big sister, was like, Mike, let's do it. So so I told Arlene to stop doing any resale business. Like, that was the last day she actually did any buying and selling for a client. I said, let's get your license, let's get licensed, let's get all those things. So we I think it was November or December when I came back from that trip. And you know, we're you know, once my sister and I or anyone in our family get an idea and get on to something, I think we move things along pretty quick. So I think we were licensed to start a brokerage in February. So I think like 3 months after we thought about the idea to start a brokerage, my sister and I, Arlene, got her managing broker license, we got started. So I remember, you know, first big decision, what do we call the company? Arlene and I thought of, we had a chat where we would bounce ideas back and forth. And I can't remember if it was Arlene or I can't remember if it was me. We thought of the idea of the company should be called, so we called it Opus Realty. So OPUS, the Oakwin is actually the version 2 of the brokerage business. So Opus Realty was our first realty company's name. And the reason why we called it Opus, we couldn't believe that it was not taken. The reason why we called it Opus Realty was because Opus is, the definition of Opus is a masterpiece, like the greatest work of an individual artist. And we thought that it was such a great name because we wanted people to do the masterpiece of their careers with us at our brokerage. So Opus was a perfect name for us, we thought, and that was going to be what our company was called. So now that we have the name and we hired our graphic designer that did our resale business, his name was Sam, and Sam created a logo for us, and we started to talk about, okay, the brokerage with no walls, and that was for the realtors, made for the people, for the people, by the people, type of agency. And we were really focused on that as our primary starting point. So now it's finding an office. So we knew we wanted to be in Vancouver, and we wanted an office with no walls. So we went to a bunch of places to lease office space. We went all over the place. We looked at places everywhere. So I used to just drive around. And for those people that are either starting a business or doing something, I find it helpful just to drive around and poke your head into places. So that's essentially what we did. So I was driving around looking kind of at different options for offices, looking for signs of different office spaces in Vancouver. And I was driving by Canby and King Edward in Vancouver. And there was this, it looked like a construction site, but it was like a building that was being refurbished. And it was like half done. And I just saw it. I was like, this might be a really good location. It's on Canby and King Edward. It's a very, very nice area. It's pretty central. It's like, it's between Oak Ridge and downtown, which is like where we did a lot of our business. So I saw that something was under construction. So I parked the car and I went up and I knocked on the door of this office, kind of this two-level office building. So and I walked in and I was like, is the owner here? I saw some construction people there, and I was like, is the owner here? And the first guy that saw me was like, yes, I am the owner. And it was really interesting. So he was actually he owned the building, and he was building on the retail level, he was building a cupcake shop for his daughter, because his daughter was a pastry chef, and he was in the travel agency business, and his office was upstairs, but he was leasing the front half of the office space upstairs on the second floor. There was no elevator. It wasn't a fancy office, but it was kind of newish because it's just been refurbished. And I looked at the space, which was a big square room with windows facing onto Cambie Street in Vancouver, and no walls. And it was about, I think, 950 square feet in size. And I looked at that office place, and I just knew in my heart, I'm like, this is our office. This is it. This is where we started Opus. And I asked him, so how much is the space? And we literally, I think we did the lease, we did the deal in 5-10 minutes. I called my sister and I said, hey, Arlene, I found us an office. Come drive down here. And Arlene came down, we looked at it, and Arlene's like, this is the office. And she's like, only you are going to be able to, like, walk into someone's place and you know, and find us an office. But anyways, that's how we found the office. So we were on the corner of 23rd and Cambie in Vancouver, on the second floor above a cupcake shop in 950 square feet. And that's how we started. So now that we have the space and now that we have the name, we had to build it out for our use. So we had to furnish the place, and to say that we had a shoestring budget might be an exaggeration, positive or negative exaggeration. So we basically started the brokerage by you know, we bought a bunch of furniture from IKEA, which we assembled ourselves. We went, Arlene and I went to Able Auctions and, like, auctioned for cheap filing cabinets and stuff like that. And I remember us holding the ping pong paddle at in Langley or something like that, and me, like, saying to Arlene, hey, no, and we're not over $7. If it's over $7, we can't buy that filing cabinet. It was just a fun time. And so we built the office out like that, and there was a huge contention over a reception desk at the time, because I wanted us to use our old IKEA desk that we had. It wasn't really a reception desk, it was really just a regular desk. And Arlene's like, no, we need a reception table. And that was a big deal, actually. After our first few months, I actually get a reception, like, we got a prefabricated reception desk, which was like a big, big thing for us. And so once we were kind of doing that work, I forgot to mention, we did a bunch of research on brokerages. And I have to say, my sister Arlene is an amazing partner, because she is amazing at research and analysis. And we do that as a team, where we analyze the numbers, like, what are brokerages doing. We did a big research project on them, and we were really open with them. We would call them and say, we're thinking about starting a brokerage, what's, if you don't mind sharing with us. And they would tell us some stuff about their rates and their systems, and we met some really great people that way. And then we, you know, we did a lot of research to make sure that it was going to be the right fit. And so we had a budget for office space, finishings, and marketing and everything like that. And I remember we got our signage, we put our signage up on the wall. Arlene and I are at the office. We just finished pulling an all-nighter building furniture, and Arlene is sitting at reception. I'm sitting in the waiting area that we had, which wasn't much of a waiting area because it was one giant square room. And I think we just got our business license, and Arlene was hanging our business license on the wall, because that was part of the rules of owning any business in Vancouver. And we were both sitting there, we were, like, kind of breathing heavy and looking at each other, and Arlene kind of looked at me and was like, okay, Mike, now what do we do? And I said, well, I don't know where it came from. Maybe it's a giant ego or anything. I said, now we gotta build the best realty in Vancouver. And it was one of those moments, and then Arlene laughed, and we just laughed. And we're not big drinkers, so we just kind of high-fived and chuckled, and I think we maybe got a bubble tea or something like that afterwards. But yeah, that was kind of our first day that we opened. So our opening day was, you know, so we're fixing up the office, we're getting it all ready, and as we're getting it ready, you know, it's really about, we really thought about making sure that the people that we had were really, really good people, and really good agents. And a lot of it was luck. I have to be very sincere. A lot of it was luck. We got the best people to, and I don't know how they came to us. Like, they came to us out of the bushes or something like that. Once we were kind of building the brokerage, my sisters got a call from one of her closest friends, and her brother, who is a realtor at another agency, was like, "Oh, I hear you guys are starting a brokerage. Why don't you meet my brother?" And so we met our very first agent. His name was Dennis Lai, and so agent number one, Dennis Lai. And we met him, and we were talking about the business. We were talking about what we wanted to do with the brokerage, that we wanted to serve and support agents. We wanted to be transparent. We wanted to be open. We wanted to be a place where people could really, really learn and improve themselves personally and professionally, that we were going to have values and principles of doing the right thing, putting people first, and just doing our best to serve the agents. And Dennis just signed the papers. The office wasn't even ready. I think he signed the papers at Copa Cafe. Or was it Copa Cafe, or was it Gloucester Cafe, which is on Canby Street, and it's like a Hong Kong style diner. And Dennis signed the papers there, and he was agent number one. And if you haven't met Dennis Lai, I should have him on the pod one of these days. He is one of the most genuine, kind, and warm people I've ever met in my life. I have brotherly, like, big, I feel like he's like my big brother. I'm so, you know, he's such an amazing person. And so we started working together, and that was the first agent we got. And then one of the mortgage brokers that was a friend of Arlene and I's for a long time recommended another agent to us. His name was Ross Wu. And Ross has been on the pod, and so that Ross was number two, and then number three, and the agent was Edison Chua, who was like a mutual friend of that same mortgage broker that we had, that we were friends with. And we just got these couple, and then one of the agents, Esni Shum from the office, was Esni Shum came over to the office, who was in my old office mate. And when she heard that Arlene and I were starting a brokerage, she was like, "I'm in." She didn't, it was funny because she was from Richmond, and essentially that was where our first office was. And Esni never even came to Vancouver to check out the office for the brokerage. Esni basically, I met her for a coffee in Richmond, and she's like, "Michael, I trust you. Just I'll sign the papers. I don't need to see the office." I said, "What?" And she came over, and you know, so we had and a bunch of people started coming. And then what was happening was agents would come, and we would work really closely with them, and then their businesses were just doing amazing. They would come, you know, so some of the agents were coming, they were selling a few properties a year, and then all of a sudden they're selling like one every, you know, it feels like one every week. Like, everyone was selling a property every week, and they're like, "Oh my," and we were just sharing information. We created this really tight-knit community, and everyone really liked each other. And we were all like really close, getting close friends. And a big turning point was Ross recommended us to an agent, her name, and I actually met her in, you know, at a showing, and then Ross recommended her as well. and she's been on the pod, and would future in the future futures of this story would become my business partner, or Arlene and I's business partner, Morgan Brown. And Morgan Brown, I think, was the 9th or 10th agent, I can't remember, that joined Oakwin. She joined Oakwin originally as a Opus as an agent, and that was a huge turning point for us. Morgan was a top 1, 2, or 3% realtor in Greater Vancouver, highly respected, young, fierce, intelligent, beautiful, kind, cool, and she's like, she's the, you know, she's like the best friend everyone wants. And I don't know how we got so lucky, but Morgan and I met one day. We met at the cupcake shop downstairs from our office, and we had a conversation for, I think it was supposed to be a 20-30 minute coffee, and I think that was a 3-hour a conversation about life, business, philosophy, family, like lessons and learning and life. And it was just, it was an amazing like conversation, and it's one I'll never forget. And I remember she was the top agent in her brokerage, and in her like in the downtown brokerage that she was in. And 2 days later, in the middle of the night, she packed up her big office and she joined the brokerage with no walls, Opus Realty. And she sat right across from me. And yeah, we started the brokerage. And so, and Morgan came as an agent. And when she came, everyone's head turned. And then people started calling us, and we started building this like following. People were like, this is where the young agents are going. We have a clean, I'm here at night at Oakwin right now doing this pod in our think tank, and the cleaner just popped in, and you know, it's kind of, she's a very nice lady. I think her name's Olga, but very nice lady. But yeah, sorry Olga, you have to come back here later. And we just started getting these amazing people. And I'm a huge believer of like attracts like, because we started with Dennis and Ross and Esne and Edison and Andrew Wan and Amar Powell and Morgan Brown and Robin, like, and all these great, Robin Barton, Dylan McCanch, all these, I have so many people that I can't Vivian Yu, Wade Chang, like, I can't say enough about this kind of core group of agents that we got. Graydon Douglas, like, there's so many of them that are amazing people that are still with us today, which is like, we're just so thankful for. But these, just this amazing group of people, you'd want, like, these people that we got, and I still think that continues today, you'd want them to be your best friend. Like, they're amazing people. And there was just this great energy at the office, and everyone was sharing ideas, and everyone is doing really great in their business. That was just like amazing. And for the Nick Chan, for the most part, like, you know, yeah, just some amazing, great human beings, just great humans, period. So we're running and we're starting to go, and we're like, okay, we're up to, you know, we started with 0 agents, not knowing how many we're going to get at all. And we're like getting agents, and they're really good realtors too. Like, many of them are Medallion. A lot of top young producers are starting to come to our office, and we get to about 25 agents in total, 25 to 30 agents in total. And we have like this great, like, it's only been a year and a half, and I got the reception table. I'm starting to paint the walls. we're like starting to make things a bit. We bought some laptops for the agents to use, because we used to say, bring the ones from home, we don't have laptops here. Like, and it was starting to, things are starting to happen, which was really, really positive. It felt really good, and I was like, I can't believe we're growing this thing. And Arlene and I were just so excited. One of the big things was that we had an amazing, our first staff that we ever got, for the brokerage was, her name was Ashley Wilson. And she was just amazing. She was the conveyancer, the receptionist, the accounting person, like the rules person. I did all the events, did our social. She was just like everything. And she was, she's such an amazing person. And bringing her along was, one of the best things we've ever done. And she's just an amazing person, and we just got we, things were starting to happen, and we were feeling really good. We're like, you know what, this is going in the right direction. And then one day I get and then one day it's Opus Realty is starting to like kind of gain some steam. People are really excited about it. And then one day I get this letter, and it's addressed important, confidential. And it's a express post letter from Canada Post. You have to like open it or else you're dead type of thing. Courier had to make me sign it. And all this excitement is happening at the brokerage. Great stuff's happening. Then I open the letter, and we're getting sued. And my heart just dropped. We're getting sued. So in order for us to register for Opus Realty, we went to the Real Estate Council of BC. We went to the Real Estate Board. It was approved by those boards. And this was our first business, but we didn't know that you had to get like a global trademark. And we were gaining traction, our social media following was going up, all this other stuff, and I guess someone took wind of it, and there was another Opus Realty operating somewhere in the world, and they sent us a letter ceasing and deceasing all activities of our brokerage. We're in violation of XYZ, and my heart dropped, and I didn't know what to do. I called my sister, Arlene, and told her about it. Her heart sank. There was all this great excitement about our company. People loved it. We were starting to get this traction in the business. People, like other broker owners, were calling us to congratulate us and all this other stuff. And here we were with this facing this big lawsuit. So we didn't know what to do. And on that note, we're gonna do part two another time. But so that was the first part of the origin of Oakwin, the story of Oakwin, the once upon a time of Oakwin Realty, introducing our first iteration of our agency. So that was part one of our story. If you are interested in doing me a favor, and you want to like, rate, and subscribe this podcast, 5 out of 5. And part two will come next week. But until next time, thank you for listening to the Michael U podcast, and we'll talk to you next week.